Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's Super Wild Card Weekend, so let's go to Brewers Outlet. That's right, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites. Indeed, second to none at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. America awaits your rant.
Well, not that I really care about these rankings anyway with the AP, but I think it's a little absurd that Jalen Hurts is all-pro second team, but whatever.
Behind who?
I believe it was Mahomes that was number one on the first team.
And Mahomes played every game.
He did.
We're done. Okay, that should end that. I'm a big person, big believer that you got to punch into work. Okay, <I'm> sorry. Yeah, one guy played 100% of the season. The other guy played 75%. Okay. And you know how I feel about the MVP stuff to begin with.
I know. Yes, I know you hate that.
Yeah. No, it's not that. I don't hate it. I don't care. There's a big difference.
True.
I don't sit here and go, I hate it. No, I don't do that. I don't care about it. A long time ago, I was like, oh, really? I've stopped caring about the MVP stuff so long ago. And you know what really turned me off to it? When they started doing mid-season rankings of who the MVP is. I'm like, they're giving out now? And you have to remember, I vote for stuff. I mean, I vote for Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. I vote for Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I vote for the Big Ten Coach of the Year. I vote for the Big Ten Basketball Player of the Year, the Coach of the Year, and the Freshman of the Year. I vote for all that stuff. You know, I take my time doing it because, I mean, I know to the individuals involved, it's important. I never think about the fan bases when I vote. Our fan base is going to be mad. Who cares? Okay. Sorry. Never really came up in my thought process. Well, so what does that matter? What does it matter? It matters who wins the championship. It does not matter if you're AP first team all pro. What the heck does that? Who cares? Only desperate fan bases get wrapped up in that. You gotta stop thinking little brother, man. You gotta think about the big prize.
Oh, I would gladly trade this in for a Lombardi. I'm just acknowledging that I really care about the AP rankings. I think they're irrelevant, but you know,
they're all irrelevant.
I still can't ignore
every one of them is irrelevant. Yeah. I also vote for the AP Big Ten football something or other. First, second, third team. I've done that before. But, you know, I vote for the Wooden Award, too. But I take my time doing it, and it's fine. All right. But the reality is, does it really matter? No, I'm sure it matters to the individuals, but does it really, in the big picture, matter?
In the grand scheme of things, no.
Who was last year's AP first team all quarterback?
It was probably Mahomes again.
No, I don't know. Do you know?
Not off the top of my head.
Then that answers your question as to how relevant it is. Who won the Super Bowl?
Rams.
Oh, you seem to know that. Right?
You're right.
I mean, it's that people don't remember this stuff. I mean, they just, and there's a reason why they don't remember it. It's not relevant. I mean, who was the MVP of the NBA last season?
It was your boy, Djokovic.
Jokic.
Jokic, yeah.
It's not my guy.
I'm just kidding, right. Yeah.
Although I talked to Calvin about him the other day. Because I saw Calvin Booth the other day on Sunday. And talked to him for a little bit, and I said, how are things going out there? He says, Steve, I got 1-5. I'm pretty good. That was his exact quote, Steve, I got 1-5. I feel pretty good.
Can't say I blame him.
Yeah, but you know who won the Hart Trophy in the NHL last year?
Yeah, that I don't remember.
Who's the National League? Who's the National League most valuable player from this past season?
It wasn't Harper.
Who won the World Series?
Well, the Astros.
Yeah, who won the National League MVP? I'd ask the American League, but you know you were so engrossed in Aaron Judge, I knew that'd be easy. That was a layup. Well, no, but I'm saying that's why I didn't ask that one because it was.
I don't know why I'm blanking on that.
But everybody out there's blanking on it. I believe it was Paul Goldschmidt, wasn't it?
Yes,
from the Cardinals.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. But I'm making a point here. Okay, we remember who wins championships. And as much as there are marquees now saying, tonight it's LeBron James and the Lakers against Luka Doncic and the Mavs, which is how TV and the marquees promote games now, there's a reality to it. The reality is people don't remember who is first-team All-Pro. People do not remember who last year's NFL MVP was. People do not remember this. I believe Aaron Rodgers was the MVP last year, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, but people don't remember that. But they remember who won the Super Bowl. And the individual accolades are great because, in part, these guys get bonuses for the accolades. So remember that. There is a financial component to it for them. But there are a lot of reasons why I stopped caring about that stuff in terms of who, like, okay, that's nice. That's great. Number one, there's so many players. And there's so many really good ones. And, and I mean really good ones. And Jalen Hurts is, without question, one of the top quarterbacks in the league, right? I think that's fair, right? The Eagles are going to go as far as he takes them. That's fair. He had a great season. That's fair. Most teams after a year ago would have been like, if we have him, we have him. We don't. Now we'd love to have him. I think that's fair. But there's also another bottom line to it. It doesn't, whether he's the MVP or not, it doesn't matter. I remember at midseason, I brought up Yordan Alvarez and that Jason Stark had him as the midseason MVP. Now, I only brought that up for one reason. And that was to make you, angry. and I got to give you credit. You got mad. that's stupid. Do you remember that moment?
Yes, I do.
And you got mad. Why?
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells fouled up.
No, I thought Alvarez was very impressive in the World Series with some of the big hits he had. How did Judge do? I'm sorry. Forgot he watched it again on TV with you. Do the kids like it during the World Series when Judge comes over to your house? You can yell at me now. Go ahead.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
We'll just leave it at that.
I'm just asking for a friend. How long is that contract? 9 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Do you think they'll win it at some point?
If you looked at the MLB.com World Series predictor, you know how they predict like 10 years out and it's ridiculous, but they think they know. They have the Yankees winning in 2032, I think.
There's so many bad articles today. 2032?
I think it's what I saw, yeah.
That's when his contract runs out, isn't it?
Maybe it was earlier. Maybe it was like 2027. It was either late 2020s or like early 2030s. But it's not for a while, bottom line. But if you want an actual realistic opinion, will they win one of the next 2 years? I'm going to say no, because they're not built for it right now.
Who comes up with these ideas?
I know, yeah.
I sit there and go, who comes up with these ideas?
It's also like stupid.
For example, what's the day after? What's the article you always get the day after a championship?
Yeah, the always too early odds for next year's championship.
And can I point out who hates that article the most?
You.
No.
Well, actually, I do, but...
No. You know who hates the article the most? In all seriousness. The person who wrote it. They don't want to write that. Huh. Right? They're being told to write it.
Yeah.
They don't want to write it. And I've talked to writers, and like, God, I hate that article. They have written it. They're like, Steve, I hate that article. I said, I know you do. Right? But when you're working for somebody and you're told to do it, okay, well, I better pound out an article on the... All right. Here's the 2023 ranking. Here's the 2023 road to the Super Bowl. Here's the, you know, NBA 2024 finals. This is what we're going to see, you know, the day after the finals are over with. Preseason, he'll be the first overall pick. Season plays out, not even a first-round pick. Okay. But the person who wrote it was told to write it. They didn't sit there and go, hey, I have an idea. How about if I look ahead to next year? No, they're being told to do it. And that is, because people are just trying to generate content. And you notice today how headlines are written. Okay? How headlines are written. Ohio State reportedly makes offensive coordinator hire. Now you're supposed to click in to find out it's Brian Hartline. Right? But they want you to click on it. So they write the headline in such a way like, oh, okay. Right? There's very little information in the headline. And everything's about clicks and, and I'm interested in next year already. Where's my team going to be? Are they going to be right? I watched the team go unranked in the preseason and finish seventh. I've watched 2 years in a row where of the top 15 teams, they were going down like flies in the month of September. That's why when you get all upset about Penn State not being ranked in August, what did I say?
Oh, don't worry about it.
I said, don't worry about it. This is no big deal. It was no big deal. They finished seventh. And at 11-2, were they going to, if they started out the season 11th, were they going to finish higher than 7th? No. Because who's in front of them? The two semifinal teams, the two teams in the championship game, SEC Alabama with Nick Saban, and SEC Tennessee. Was Penn State going to finish higher than 7th if they started the season 11th?
Valid.
Well, I know. That's why I said it.
Oh, my almighty!
We got Rube today, right?
Rube today.
You know, one guy I'm going to ask him about, maybe the first guy I'm going to ask him out of the gate, and this is a very underrated, extremely underrated Eagles player that I think has played really well this season, TJ Edwards.
Yes.
Was a big TJ Edwards guy when I watched him at Wisconsin. Terrific. And I think he played really well this season for the Eagles. You know, there are a lot of, I mean, Reddick, by the way, and you were big when they got, you were excited when they got Reddick.
I was.
And I was like, okay, you know, fine. Well, Reddick played great this year. But the big kid up front, Davis, did not. He didn't play well this year. You know, he had 107 pass rush opportunities this year. You know how many sacks he got?
I know, none.
It's kind of a low number. We're back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Okay, Mike Williams is out of the Chargers Jags playoff game. Back injury. So that's a big loss for Justin Herbert. That's going to put a lot of pressure on Allen as a wide receiver and also on Eckler. But Williams is out of the game against Jacksonville. Lamar Jackson is out of the game with the Bengals, so it's going to be Huntley playing again at quarterback. Trying to think of anybody else, quote, significant is out of any of these games. I think everybody else. Anybody you can think of off the top of your head?
No, I think those are all the big ones.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Tua, but we knew that already, and Dolphins made it official that Skylar Thompson's going to start, but we knew that already.
Skylar Thompson will start, you know, and obviously, look, let's not forget DeMar Hamlin's not playing. But, yeah, Tua being out, that's another big one for the Dolphins playing at Buffalo. But for the most part, I think most of these teams are relatively intact. And by the way, Lane Johnson was practicing with one of the trainers working on pass protection moves on the side field. That's a really big plus.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. 6 great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great to be joined by the outstanding Ruben Frank. Rube, how you been?
How's it going?
Going great. And I want to start with this guy. And that is TJ Edwards. We never talk about TJ Edwards, at least on this show, we really haven't. I know I haven't asked you about him either. When I saw him play against Penn State at Wisconsin, I thought this guy's going to be terrific. And Jack Ham was big on him as well. What kind of season is he now put together as a veteran in this defense?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, I was an All-Pro voter this year, and I actually gave TJ a second-team All-Pro vote as an off-ball linebacker. He's been that good. And it's really been something to watch. You know, he was undrafted out of Wisconsin and started out as a special teamer and started playing a little more and a little more. And over the past year, he got faster. He got into much better shape than he's ever been in before, and it really showed. And he's always been physical. He's always been good against the run. But he became a really good cover linebacker this year and an effective blitzer as well. So he's the whole package. He's unsigned after this year. And whether it's here or somewhere else, he's going to get a significant pay raise over that undrafted rookie contract. He's had a terrific year.
Rube, I'll ask you about another guy that would be under the radar as well. He started his career at Penn State, really liked him, but then he transferred and got drafted by the Steelers. That's Zach McPherson. What kind of special teams ace has he been for Nick Sirianni this season?
Yeah, he's been really good. He's been, you know, special teams has been up and down for the Eagles, but Zach has been he's been terrific. You know, Jim Johnson, who was the, you know, the legendary defensive coordinator here from 99 to 08, he would always look for guys, defensive players who were stars on special teams, thinking that, you know, their ability could had a chance to cross over into defense. And like guys like Quentin Michael, he became an Pro Bowl safety, started out playing special teams for 5 years, another undrafted type of guy. And I think Zach kind of falls into that category where you can see that he's physical, he's fast, he's instinctive, he's smart. And if you have those qualities on special teams, there's a good chance that you could have him on defense. And obviously James Bradbury is another unsigned guy after this year who made the second team All-Pro today. So it's easy to think that Zach's going to have a chance to at least compete for a starting cornerback job next year. And based on the way he plays on special teams, I would say he's got got a chance to be a pretty good cornerback.
If Jack Ham mentioned Jim Johnson's name once to me, but probably mentioned it to me 25 times when he was the Eagles defensive coordinator. So that's how highly he thought of Jim Johnson. I've got to ask you now about a couple of other guys. Lane Johnson evidently was on a side field doing some pass block work with one of the trainers. How positively should Eagle fans view that development?
Lane actually practiced today, and I just talked to Lane about 2 hours ago, and he's really encouraged by where he is now. I mean, he's trying to play with a torn muscle in his groin, and then he needs surgery, and he's gonna get surgery as soon as the season's over. But he's been rehabbing since he got hurt Christmas Eve in Dallas, and he feels pretty good. He feels like he can do this, and it's going to be a matter of pain management and his ability to anchor and generate power with a core muscle injury, which isn't easy. But he said he felt pretty good after taking some reps today, and he'll go a little harder next week, and then Thursday he's going to be full go against, you know, the Eagles have some pretty good edge rushers, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, and Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
So he's really encouraged with where he is, and he's talked to some other NFL players who've had this injury and played through it, and it would be 3 games at the max. And he said it's all about rehabbing. He said he feels a lot better than he did 3 weeks ago. And look, what he's trying to do is not easy, but if anyone can pull it off, it's Lane Johnson.
What message does it send to a locker room when a guy like that is trying to do this?
Yeah, and I think that's a, you know, that's a veteran. That's a 30-year-old guy who's a 2-time All-Pro now. And when younger guys see somebody gutting it out like that, yeah, I mean it you know, you're not gonna take a rep off if you have a sore leg or something. So I think that's what leadership really is. It's not the rah-rah stuff. It's you know, playing through pain, doing everything you can for the team. And he said, you know, if I didn't feel like we had a chance to win the Super Bowl, I'm not sure I would do this. But I, you know, I'm, one, you know, a couple times in your career, you feel like you have a team that can make a deep run, and I want to do everything I can for the team. I want to be there for my teammates, and that's, to me, that's what a leader really is.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. Well put. You mentioned Redick in a previous answer. They pick him up in the offseason. Rube, was he everything the Eagles could hope for?
Yeah, and more. I mean, this is a guy, I actually just talked to Hassan this afternoon, too, in the locker room, and he's, you know, he made second-team All-Pro as well, and this is a guy that was, he made the Pro Bowl, his first Pro Bowl, career-high 16 sacks. This is a guy who was seen as a first-round bust early in his career in Arizona. You know, what do you have, 7.5 sacks his first 3 years? Yeah. And he just talked about dealing with that label and just keep working. And, you know, it sometimes just takes time to learn how to play in the NFL. And, he's been phenomenal. It's not just the sacks, but I think he's led the league with 5 forced fumbles. You know, he actually was pretty good dropping back when he was asked to. And really complete player. Another great leader. And, you know, really, this D-line had, the third highest sack total in history, and he was, you know, he was behind so much of that, not just when he got a sack, but by taking double teams and opening up holes for other guys. He's better than I thought, and, you know, he's had some good years before, but he was special this year. There's a short list of really elite Eagles edge rushers, you know, starting with Reggie and Clyde and, you know, Dennis Harrison, Trent Cole, Hugh Douglas and William Fuller later in their careers, but he's as good as anyone I've seen since Clyde and Reggie.
That says a lot when you say something like that. Jalen Hurts played hurt against the Giants. He got through it.
Yeah.
Is there any indication from other guys as to truly how much pain he's in? I guess he can't injure it any more than he has, but there's a pain tolerance.
Yeah, I think it's pain tolerance and just range of motion and, you know, just how much spring he has in his throws. We talked to him, gosh, for 12 minutes yesterday, and he just wouldn't let on at anything. He just, you know, those Alabama guys, they don't really like to tell you much.
That's right.
You know, that's the
they become experts at it. They become experts at it down there.
What's that?
They become experts at that down there.
They really do. They really do. But and it's funny because all the Alabama guys are so guarded. And, you know, he's a really nice kid, but he won't tell you a thing. So it's hard to tell. He's not 100%. He most likely won't be 100%. So it's just a matter of, you know, with 2 more weeks. And, look, they really dumbed down the offense in the Giants game. It's just a matter of doing the minimum and getting out of there with a win, whatever the score was, just getting through it. So he wasn't running. They weren't calling a lot of RPOs. It was just kind of try to get through this thing and get the bye. So he's got 2 more weeks to rehab. He threw today, which he didn't do yesterday. So that's encouraging. And, you know, he was out there with the other quarterbacks, and he looks fine throwing the ball. But that's practice. So I don't think anyone really knows where he'll be a week from Sunday or Saturday, whenever they play. He'll be, I would think, healthier than he was against the Jets, but not quite where he was before the injury. It's just where in that range is he going to fall? And I don't think anyone really knows. But I'll tell you what, they need him to have his full arsenal of abilities or close to it, because so much of this offense just, you know, depends on the threat of him being able to do anything at any time. And without that, then you get a game like that against the Giants.
Well, the plus of having the number one overall seed is you don't have to play this weekend. And the next plus is every game that you'll play will be at home until you get to the Super Bowl. The only negative is you don't know who you're going to play. So how has Nick gone about his business with this team in terms of practicing without knowing the opponent to then changing over next week to knowing who is the opponent?
Right. Well, they practiced Thursday and Friday, yesterday and today, and the practices were really geared toward fundamentals as opposed to install. Because, like you said, you don't know what you're going to install. So they really focused on fundamentals and a lot of individual stuff and just sharpening and staying sharp and staying fresh. And, you know, they have an assistant, like a quality control guy, doing early work on each of the 4 teams that they could face. So, you know, once they know who they're playing, which could be Sunday, could be Monday. We don't know. Once they know, then that coach will present what he has, and in the early work. Now they've played. Well, obviously they've played Dallas twice. They haven't played Seattle since Sirianni has been here. They played Tampa last year twice. So they have a sense of what they're up against. But I think it's interesting that they're just kind of two practices this week and just focusing on getting better and not really thinking about who they're playing yet.
And I think that's exactly, as somebody's watched a million bowl preparations in his career, that's the way you have to do it. You have to go through the practice just like that. Then you start zeroing in on who you're playing. The other part is that when you do talk to the players, and I'll bet they told you the same thing, having a few days off probably did them a world of good physically and mentally. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I think the mental part is really underrated. Obviously, the physical stuff, you keep them off, you're off your feet for a few days, and then they'll be off till, players will be off till Wednesday, unless they play Saturday, they'll be off till Tuesday. Right. But the mental side of it is so important, because they've been going, they've been going strong since end of July. Yeah. So being able to get away from the building, maybe just lift a little bit, get off your feet, and this weekend just kind of watch football and stay home. There's a lot of value to it. It's like anything else. If you do something every day, it's easy to get burned out. So I think it's that freshening aspect and sharpening is really important.
Yeah, that's really well put. Does the playoff experience, I know it was one game and it was not a good game. That's fine. But does that enter into the fact that at least guys know what to expect with the playoffs, even though there's some guys on this team that weren't on that team last year?
Yeah, and I think the big thing is having guys, some car almost hit me. He's 100 years old, and he just pulled out in front of me.
You got to be kidding me. Really? Jeez. Oh, man.
He just missed me by like 6 inches. I think the big thing is that you mentioned Lane Johnson, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelsey, Isaac Seumalo, the kicker Jake Elliott. They all won a Super Bowl, and they're all still part of this team. And that's such a good resource when you have guys who've been to the top of the mountain, know what it takes. I think the younger guys are always picking their brains about that. They know the routine. They know, everything kind of, to do. And I know the coaches have leaned on them too about it. And because Doug Peterson in 2017, they did everything right. The more resources like that you have, the better you are and the more prepared you are. So this is a pretty playoff experienced team. Guys like Reddick's never been to the playoffs, and he was saying I never really think about that, but I've never played in the playoffs, but football's football, and it's not like I'm going to see anything I've never seen before. But
right, exactly.
It's a pretty seasoned team, pretty veteran team, and like you said, they're home, so I think they'll be. I don't think the moment will be too big for them.
No, it will not be. All right, now piece of advice. Watch out for the 100-year-old guy, okay?
Man, I guess, I don't know if you have to, do you have to go, when you hit a certain age, do you have to start taking the driving test again?
I don't know. I don't think there is a law about that.
We have to work on that.
Yeah, you and I will talk about that,
Yeah.
And we'll cite your example here, okay? Rube, have a great and safe weekend, okay?
That sounds great. You too. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
I'll talk
pal.
To you soon.
Appreciate it. All right. Ruben Frank, always terrific. To talk.
That 100-year-old guy is probably a Cockroach Cowboy fan.
Feel like it. You know what? We ought to do a show where it's you, Mike from Nori, and me. Mike, call the show, okay? Right, and then I'll let you and Mike let out all like a cleansing moment.
Do we really want to do that?
Yes, I think it would be fun because Mike's a cool guy. All right, just so everybody knows, Mike's a cool guy. He really is. All right, but I think it would be good to cleanse the palate when it comes to the team of evil from Arlington. You guys, you don't seem like big fans. You seem like outliers when it comes to America's team.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Very judgmental, I noticed. Hundred's a little old to be behind the wheel, but that's
a little bit.
Oh, I mean, that would have been bad. We're on the show, and all of a sudden Rube gets hurt. That would not be good on the show.
No.
I'm so glad of you. Whew. It's a kind of relief you got missed there. But, Mike, give us a call. Like, just have a little confab here. You know, you and Matt, allies. Strength in numbers. Promoting that Dallas hate. What do you think?
Well, I say we. Well, if he wants to call in, that's fine. But I think if they play Dallas next week, we should save it for then.
He can call next week too.
Okay.
No problem. We got an open line segment next half hour. He ought to call in. This is one, you know, they won the Super Bowl in 17. This is the greatest season since. Should be the time for you guys to shine instead of spewing hate.
By the way, going back to our conversation of irrelevant clickbait nonsense,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pro Football Talk and Sunday Night Football's Twitter and Facebook pages are very good at this too, by the way. This one just came out a little while ago. Trevor Lawrence has never lost on a Saturday in high school, college, or the NFL. Ooh.
Who cares?
I mean, that's just a prime example.
Oh, man. Okay.
I thought I'd share that with you.
That's just great. That's just great. You know, and can I do one quick thing on playoff experience?
Absolutely.
Once you play in a playoff game, that's all you need. Okay?
Yep.
You kind of get out in the first quarter of the game and it becomes a game. I mean, it just becomes a game. All right? Now, the difference when you get to the Super Bowl as opposed to a playoff game is you do have to deal with the Monday night stuff. Where you got to go there, you got 4,000 to 5,000 media people. It is not the usual media crowd. It's not. Now, you're going to see a guy like Ruben Frank there, for example. You're going to look over and go, okay, now him I trust. Like, you know, hey, Rube, how you been? You know, you can talk to him, but you're also going to be talking to some, for all you know, you never know. I mean, I told you the story about covering the Super Bowl between the Broncos and the Seahawks. And Michael Robinson and I were just standing there just chit-chatting and the whole thing. And Mike was playing fullback at the time. And, you know, Lynch came out for a little bit and said nothing. And, you know, we were laughing about that. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up and wants to ask a question. It's Hank Azaria. Like, okay. So I just kind of stepped to the side by a couple feet, let Hank Azaria do his deal. Mike's looking over at me like, okay, this is different. You know, you do have to deal with that. Other than that, everything else is, because they give you the first week to get tickets and things like that. After that, you practice and you get it done and you go play. But so Super Bowl experience, you already have playoff games, which means you've been going through weeks of, like, if I lose, we're out. Oh, that's not good. You already have that experience. I remember John Schaefer saying to me when they played in the Fiesta Bowl, and he looked over on the sideline and he saw all these people on the sideline, like dignitaries, things like that. And he went, this is a little bit bigger. He said that's when it hit him, because I had breakfast with John a couple months ago. So All right. We'll come back more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hoist one from Brewers Outlet.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.